So, good morning. Thank you very much for coming. My name's Martin Dolan. I'm the Chief Commissioner of the Australian Transport Safety Bureau. And I'm here to present the Bureau's report into an in-flight uncontained engine failure to an Airbus aircraft, a Qantas aircraft, A380 registered VHOQA, which occurred on the 4th of November 2010. The aircraft was flying from Changi Airport in Singapore to Sydney in Australia with 469 people on board, 440 passengers, 24 cabin crew and 5 flight crew. At about 7,000 feet on climb from Singapore, the aircraft sustained an uncontained engine rotor failure of its number 2 engine. Engines are numbered from left to right, number 2 from the left. As you look down on the aircraft, that engine was a Rolls-Royce Trent 900. As a result of the uncontained failure of the engine, debris from the engine damaged the aircraft's left wing and the aircraft's fuselage and subsequently fell on Batam Island in Indonesia. There was significant damage to the aircraft's electrical, hydraulic and other systems. The flight crew managed the situation with which they were confronted, and after completing a range of required actions in response to a multitude of system failures, safely returned to and landed the aircraft at Changi Airport, and there were no reported injuries of crew or passengers on the aircraft. The engine failure essentially resulted from a fatigue crack in one of the oil feed stub pipes in the aircraft, and I'll get into more detail in that in a moment. The investigation has been of that event has been one of the most extensive and complex that the ATSB has had to undertake, and has been supported by a range of organisations, particularly Rolls-Royce, Airbus and our counterparts in France and the UK, the investigation agencies in those countries. A major international logistical exercise into a complex set of events, into a large, complex and modern aircraft with an extensive engine, and to understand the manufacturing process for that engine. So, in the end, the report that we're releasing today focuses on three areas and tries to lay out the consequences of those three areas we focused on. How the engine failed, what happened during the manufacturing of the engine that allowed that failure, and what were the implications of the damage to the aircraft as a result of the accident. As I said earlier, the engine failure at its heart resulted from a fatigue crack in an oil feed pipe. In essence, the engine consists of shafts with discs and turbines on them that turn very fast. They sit on a bearing that is meant to allow rotation and requires a substantial amount of oil to be fed to lubricate the bearings and allow the engine to operate smoothly. One of the pipes that fed high pressure oil to that turbine was what failed. It was a fatigue crack which sprayed oil into the engine cavity.
Would you like your participants to be able to unmute their own lines by pressing star 6? Press 1 for yes and 2 for no. All participants have been muted. You will now rejoin the conference.
Thank you. We have some of your colleagues on the other end of the phone. Apologies for the interruption. There's a lot of very hot air passing through one of these engines, and when you spray oil into it, that oil has a tendency to auto-ignite and create a fire. That fire led to the fracture of the intermediate pressure turbine disc, one of the turbine discs in the aircraft, from the drive shaft of the engine. The disc then oversped and burst, releasing high energy debris with the results that have been seen. Our investigation found that the oil pipe, together with a number of other similar pipes in comparable engines, in Trent 900 engines, had been made with a thin wall section, part of the pipe was thinner than it was intended to be. This did not comply with design specifications. And this thinness of the wall substantially increased the likelihood of fatigue cracking in the oil pipe. At approximately a month into the investigation, we had effectively, working with Rolls-Royce and others, established that as the key issue in terms of the operation of these engines, and had made a recommendation that steps be taken to fix that problem and to address the broader exposure that went with the operation of these engines. So that's something that was already in place by late in 2010, because when we find things of significance in the course of the investigation, we make sure they're dealt with immediately. We then went on to try and discover the broader implications of this event. And the first was to look at what happened in the manufacturing process that led to a pipe with this sort of problem actually being released to service, incorporated in an engine. And what we found was that the misalignment, the thin wall, was probably due to inaccuracies in the way that the pipe had been machined to allow the placement of an oil filter within it. And there were a range of opportunities in the manufacturing and quality assurance system to have detected this problem and to manage it. But these did not work as they were intended, which meant there were a number of engines out there with this potential safety problem. The real opportunities for detecting the problem were first in the transition from the design drawings of the engine to the manufacturing drawings of the engine, which is a normal part of an industrial process, but there were some problems in finding reference points, datum points, for measuring particular crucial parts of the manufacturing process that suffered during the transition from the design to the manufacturing drawings. As a result of that, a number of high-pressure, intermediate-pressure hubs, the hub that was holding the turbine and so on, were released with non-conforming parts, parts that did not comply with the manufacturing design and manufacturing specifications. There was a flaw in processes in Rolls-Royce that allowed this to happen. At a later stage, these problems were detected. And it was known that several non-conforming parts had been released into service. This was not at this stage picked up in relation to these oil feed stub pipes, because there was some misunderstanding of error messages that were being generated by various measuring machines as part of the operational process. This problem was detected in about March 2009. And it was recognised that there was the likelihood that oil pipes had been manufactured with thin walls. A statistical analysis was done to try and understand what the implications might be for parts that were already operating in the engine fleet. But this statistical analysis essentially used as its sample the engines that were available at the manufacturing facility, which was a comparatively small number and were not representative of the engines that were in service and available, and so the results of that statistical analysis were not as reliable as they should have been, and that led to the continuation in operation of a number of these non-conforming parts. As I say, there were a number of opportunities within the manufacturing and quality control system that had the potential to have minimised the risk these non-conforming parts would be the recent service, they did not operate as effectively as they could. We also wanted to understand, I should say, there's a range of safety actions, which I will shortly get to, that respond to that set of issues. The third set of considerations were, with this uncontained engine failure, what were the implications of the damage to the aircraft? And our report lays out in a lot of detail as is necessary, both the impact on the operation systems of the aircraft and therefore what the flight crew was required to manage in the safe operation and landing of the aircraft, and also what was the physical damage to the aircraft and what might be the consequences of that damage. The consideration of a range of error messages that came through the ECAM, the information system that's used by the flight crew to manage the aircraft, we're satisfied that although there was a high workload associated with that, it was manageable by the flight crew, as was in fact evidenced in the way this operation was managed. The damage to the aircraft itself is more extensive than would have been predicted by the models currently used to guide the certification of aircraft, and particularly how they plan to deal with the potential consequences of an engine failure of this sort. As a result of that, we have made recommendations both to the European Aviation Safety Authority Agency and to the Federal Aviation Administration in the United States as the two major developers of these sorts of safety standards. And the recommendation is that the work we have done be looked at very carefully to ensure the reliability and the future effectiveness of the standards for certifying aircraft, and with a particular emphasis on the possible damage from uncontained engine failures in the future.
Sorry for the interruption, this is the operator speaking.
A number of actions have been taken in the course of our investigation, which is understandable given how long this complex thing has taken us. As I said, we first issued a safety recommendation in December 2010, which identified problems with the stub pipe and the manufacturing process, and asked that, and recommended the safety issue associated with that be identified, and we're satisfied that all necessary actions were taken. In addition, Rolls-Royce released engine control software designed to shut the engine down before a turbine disc could overspeed, in the unlikely event that such an event would happen in the future.
Sorry for the interruption.
Rolls-Royce also made a range of procedural changes to their quality management system to improve the way in which they manage non-conforming parts, both during the manufacturing process and when it has been identified that parts have been released into service with non-conformances. The lessons learned and the subsequent procedural changes have been applied broadly to Rolls-Royce operations. And the ATSB is satisfied that the steps taken by Rolls-Royce address the issues that we identified in the course of our investigation. As I said, we also recognise that this accident represents an opportunity for the regulators to incorporate the lessons learned from this exercise into future aircraft design and airframe certification advisory material, and we've made appropriate recommendations to the ASA and the FAA on that basis. Even though modern civil turbine engines are reliable and uncontained engine rotor failures are very rare events, the resulting damage can be very significant and the potential effects even more so. The importance of ensuring that parts are manufactured as the designer intended is crucial, and equally understanding the potential consequences of one of these failures for the safety design of aircraft is crucial. The ATSB's investigation required extensive expertise and cooperation from a range of external organisations, particularly, as I've said, Rolls-Royce and Airbus, the Air Accident Investigation Branch of the United Kingdom, and the Bureau de Donquette and d'Analyse of the French government, our French counterpart. We also would like to recognise the cooperation that's been afforded to us by the Air Accident Investigation Branch of Singapore, the Indonesian National Transportation Safety Committee, the European Aviation Safety Agency, the Civil Aviation Safety Authority of Australia, the UK Civil Aviation Authority, and of course Qantas Airways, whose aircraft was the one that was the subject of this engine accident.
Matt O'Sullivan.
My apologies for the slight distractions from those on the phone, but I'm now happy to take any questions you have on our investigation and our report.
Interruption, this is the operator speaking. I received a call from one of the participants.
All participants have been unmuted.
Our investigation is now complete, and the way our system works is when we are satisfied our investigation is complete, we produce a final report.
And the recommendations that you've made to the international colleagues, have you heard back from them as to what they...
Yes, I cannot hear a thing that he has said the entire time.
No.
And I still can't hear him either. We still got laughing at us.
I'm sorry.
The international bodies that you referred your report to.
Would you like your
Sorry.
To be able to unmute
We've made recommendations.
The way
the system works is that they have 90 days in which to consider our recommendation and to advise us of a response. So we gave them advance warning that these recommendations were heading their way. But they were waiting for formal advice of the...
Could someone please stop muting the speaker because none of the journalists on the phone can hear the press conference.
Could you go and sort it out the other end, Alan, and come back to us? Thank you. So at the end of an investigation, we'll make a recommendation in the course of an investigation if there's a critical safety issue that we know needs to be addressed immediately, as we did in the case of the known problem with the oil pipe. On these broader things, which is about the future certification and regulatory system, we have a process of saying, here's our report that understands the context, sets out the context in which we've made the recommendation, and we now seek your response to our recommendation. Depending on that, we'll decide whether or what sort of action is taken. We keep our recommendations open until we're satisfied that the necessary action has been taken.
And in terms of the exact cause, the pinpointed cause,
yes.
It sounds very familiar to what you released in your preliminary investigation. Is exactly the same? There's no extra information?
At the heart of it, this was about a fracture in an oil pipe that led to a spray of oil and a whole series of consequential events.
Okay.
That remained, through extensive investigation, at the heart of what happened. However, the question we really wanted to answer was, how could you have a part that was effectively non-conforming to the design criteria sitting in an engine with that consequence that we saw?
So Martin, is it fair to say that the blame for this incident lies squarely with Rolls-Royce?
The ATSB is not in the business of apportioning blame. The ATSB wants to find out where are ways that the safety system can be improved to prevent the recurrence of these sorts of accidents.
But it happened in the construction in a Rolls-Royce factory?
That's correct. And it was the processes of Rolls-Royce that we were examining to see where there was room for improvement.
And so responsibility lies with them?
As I say, we're not in the business, and we're not allowed to be by law, to attribute blame, to apportion blame, or any of those sorts of things. We're focused on where improvements can be made to the system.
And Rolls-Royce has taken on those improvements?
Rolls-Royce has made a range of steps and was very happy to say and to show to us, share with us, the range of steps they've taken to address the issues that we identified.
And are you satisfied with their response? The breakdown was somewhere between the design, when the actual blueprints went to the manufacturing plant, if you will.
That was one point of exposure, yes.
Are you satisfied with that misstep or miscalculation has been rectified?
Yes, Rolls-Royce has given us a lot of material to show how they've changed their systems in the course of our investigation, and so we're satisfied with the steps they've taken in response to the issues we've identified.
Could this happen again?
We're satisfied that this sequence of events is very unlikely to happen again. As I said, these sorts of events happen very rarely with modern jet turbines in any event, and we are confident we understand both the primary cause of the failure and what was around it in terms of protections, that every possible step has been taken to prevent a recurrence.
Is there any recommendation to install, for example, a hot warning light, to say that there is a problem? If there were to be a pipe that's identified, happening again?
There are so many different pipes and parts in one of these large engines that wouldn't be very effective, particularly as who are you giving the warning to? So what's happened is that there's been some software in terms of the engine management that's been put in place that will detect the precursors to this sort of overspeed event and will shut down the engine as a result. So you've got an internally built thing in the engine that will deal with that issue.
And that's been installed in every A380?
In each of the Trent 900 engines that's currently in operation.
Why was it only one instance? Why do you think? Is it just luck that it didn't occur multiple times?
The sequence of a fatigue failure of a part is unpredictable. What we know is there were a number of parts that were released to service with similar thin walls and therefore a propensity to fatigue, but there were no cases where there was any direct evidence that I'm aware of. Kevin, you might be able to advise me. No cases I'm aware of where there was even serious indicators of fatigue happening. So that's as much as we can say. There was an exposure there, but it only came to bear in this one case.
Yeah. And all these turbos, they've all been changed, and every turbo
correct.
Is in the air.
Gotcha. That's right.
Thicker wall.
Yep. Well, properly bored or counterbored part is now in place in each of those engines.
I understand that Rolls-Royce isn't the only company that manufactures these types of things that went wrong. There are other companies that...
There's a range of... Complex jet turbines, we've laid out in great detail as a result of our investigation the range of things that didn't work as they were intended, and one of the reasons we publish our reports is so that others can learn from this experience and if necessary check. We've got no evidence that there's a comparable problem elsewhere, but we would certainly encourage anyone who's in the business of manufacturing these engines to take a close look at this report and see if it has particular lessons for them. If that's it, then thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
And I'm happy to take any further questions quietly if you wish to raise them. Thank you for your attendance.
Thank you.